So Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 and verse 13 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. Now that's an old English word, and it literally means able. He's made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us. Not about to, but he's already delivered us. You know, some people could just realize that, they'd stop trying to be delivered and walk in the deliverance that he's already provided for them. Anyway, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, the Amplified Version reads this way. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So the power that saves, the power that heals, the power that provides is the power that releases, it delivers, and it neutralizes the enterprises of hell and the weaknesses of the flesh. So I want to talk to you about kingdom living just a little bit tonight, and we're going to look at one area of kingdom living. We could also call it kingdom culture. Kingdom culture. You know, in the kingdom of God, we've got a different way of speaking than the world speaks. We've got a different way of thinking than the world thinks. If you will renew your mind to the Word of God, and you will line your life up with the Word of God, and you will line yourself by living right and living in holiness, you will adapt to this new kingdom culture. A kingdom way of thinking, a kingdom way of acting, a kingdom way of speaking. Amen? So I want to talk about kingdom living as it relates to the way that you and I speak. Our culture, our lifestyle is a faith-filled one. We are not filled with fear. We don't have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of faith. We have the language, if you will, of the redeemed. In Psalms 107 and verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not just think so, but let the redeemed of the Lord open their mouths boldly and say so. Mark Hankins says this. I love this quote. He says, God's word didn't come out of his pen. It came out of his mouth. It was spoken before it was written, and it was written so it could be spoken. So it's important for us to know what is written, and also to speak what is written against the onslaughts of the enemy when he comes against us. In Galatians 3:13, it says this, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was threefold. It was poverty, it was sickness, and it was spiritual death. Aren't you glad that he took your place? He became sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. He bore your disease, he bore your poverty, and you are just one redeemed bunch. Amen? Amen? Kenneth Copeland said this many years ago. I love this quote. He said this, we don't have a choice whether or not we live by words, but we do, however, have a choice of whose words we live by. Have you chosen to live by the eternal word of the living God? Glory to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it points out to us that it is a choice that we need to make. He said in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Now listen to this carefully. We choose life daily by speaking words of life. So what you say and what you choose not only impacts your life, but it'll impact your seed. Amen? How many of you got seed? Oh, glory to God. So as you put the Word of God first place in your life, that'll be such an example to them. So what you say daily, what you say when the heat is on, what you say when the tests come your way, what you say at the dinner table, what you say is so important and so vital, probably more important than any of us in this room really realize. Jesus placed a high premium on faith-filled words. He said, by my words you are justified. By my words you are condemned. Proverbs said it this way in Proverbs 18:21, the death and life, they are in the power of what? The power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Does it matter what we say? How much does it matter? Well, it's really a matter of life, and it's a matter of death. There are so many people that are speaking words of death, and they don't even realize it. They're literally hurting themselves by the words that they are speaking. The very atmosphere around us, not in this house, not in this place, but the very atmosphere of the world is just filled with fear. The news is filled with fear. There's so much negativity out there. You know what? I've just joined a new club. I've started a new club. And I want to invite you into this club. It is an awesome club. It's a no negativity club. It's a no whiny baby club. It's a no complaining club. And I've added one today. It is a no fear here club. Glory to God. And you know when I joined that club? I joined that club in the midst of an Arctic blast down there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I had the opportunity to lose it, but I didn't lose it. I grabbed hold of the Word of God and I said, Mama, I just joined a new club. And I'm reminding of myself that on a regular basis. You know, sometimes your mind wants to go negative. Your mind and your body wants to speak things that are wrong. But thank God, if you'll join the kingdom club and speak kingdom words, glory to God, you will function and operate in kingdom dominion. Who'll join me? All right. Woo, glory to God. We got club members. And there's no initiation fee, incidentally. So what we believe and what we say are really seeds. And seeds are designed to produce after their kind. Is that right? And so the harvest that we get in life is in direct proportion to the seeds or the words that we have spoken. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, what? Soweth. When you are speaking God's word, you are sowing the right kind of seeds. For whatsoever a man soweth into the ground of his heart, if he will nurture it, if he will water it, if he will protect it, that shall he also reap. Gloria Copeland said many years ago, a man's harvest depends entirely on what he speaks and what he sows. Think about it. If you're not enjoying the right kind of harvest, change your words. Join the club. It's a faith-speaking club. Amen. Glory to God. And so, if you want strength, you need to speak words of strength. If you want to be free from fear, speak words of faith. Say this with me. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind. Now, there are some days you may feel weak, but that doesn't help you to talk about how weak you are. You might as well say this. I am strong. I am strong. I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Think about it. Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing is strengthening you tonight. He's strengthening you daily as you declare that the joy of the Lord, who is your strength? Amen? So if you want health, speak words of healing. Declare your redemption. Declare that by His stripes you are healed. I was going for a little walk around the neighborhood this afternoon, and I just started declaring Matthew 8:17. You know, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I declared Isaiah 53:5. Jesus was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of Mark Thomas's peace was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, Mark Thomas is healed and made whole. I'm in the healing club. Then I quoted a few more verses. It's good to talk to yourself. It's good to remind yourself. God's word is life unto those that find them. And God's word is health to all of your flesh. Say it with me, His word is life. And His word is health. So it matters what we say. And if you want direction, don't speak confusion. Never say, I just can't hear from God. But rather say this, I'm a child of God. He is my good shepherd. And I know His voice. I hear His voice. I follow His voice, and I'm just going to enjoy my life because my good shepherd is leading me beside the still waters. He's leading me beside the green pastures, and I am enjoying hearing from heaven. Glory to God. Glory to God. So never talk yourself out of your ability to hear from God. You've got more ability to hear from God than you realize. Sometimes it's important that you turn off all the devices. You got so many things talking to you all day. Turn the devices off and tune in to the wave of heaven. Amen? So, this is a simple message tonight, but it's a message we need to remind ourselves of. We're talking about kingdom lifestyle. The way king's kids speak. King's kids speak what the king has spoken. Amen? Real faith in God simply says about oneself what the Word says. Now look at this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. It says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That's good to know. Amen? So if the enemy comes along and talks to you about how lonely you are and brings the violins and all of those things, you need to speak up. You need to speak up because if you don't speak up, it'll get worse. Amen. Now I realize that there are challenges in life. I don't underestimate that. I know that. But it's not going to do anybody any good to talk about how lonely they are. We are not to join the Lonely Hearts Club band. We're to join He'll Never Leave Me or Forsake Me Club. Amen? He's in me. He's on my side. He's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. He is for me, and He is comforting me, and He is lifting me, and He will never leave me without support. He will never, never, never lose His grip on me. Assuredly not. Amen? Woo! Glory to God. Well, I've done it again. I've preached myself happy. So we are not alone. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But now notice the next verse in verse 6. So that we may boldly say. See, He said it in the previous verse. Now what He said, we can boldly say. Amen. So that we may boldly say, hey, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? There's power in being bold with your words. Boldness is something that God gives to all of His kids. When we're talking about boldness, we're not talking about arrogance. When we're talking about boldness, that doesn't necessarily mean you need to be loud and obnoxious. No, boldness is available to every child of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, I believe it's Proverbs 28:1. It says this, the righteous are bold as a lion. You like that? That's you. Because you're righteous in God's sight. And the righteous are bold as a lion. I can remember at one homecoming, Dad Hagen was preaching to us. And this is when the school was a lot smaller. Back in the early days in 1975, they had like 57 or 58 graduates. And they just had their 50th anniversary back there. Now, we didn't go the second year, but we went the third year. And I don't remember what year it was, but we'd go downtown and we'd have a banquet. And Brother Hagin preached a message on the righteous are bold as a lion. And he said, you know, we can be bold toward three areas. We can be bold toward heaven. Because did he not say, come boldly to the throne of grace?
Yeah.
That we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need?
Amen.
Amen. But we can also be bold here on earth. We can be bold in our witness. We can be bold to proclaim His grace, His goodness. Amen. John Osteen was on an elevator one time down in Houston, Texas. And he was in that elevator, and there were some people there that didn't know the Lord, and they were cussing and swearing and just carrying on, probably drunk. And John Osteen said, wait a minute. And he lifted up his hand, and he started praising God and thanking God and giving God glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They looked at him like, what? He says, I demand equal time. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So we should not be closet Christians.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
No, 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 not closet Christians. We need to be bold, and we need to make sure that we walk in this boldness in this earth. Because there's a lot of folks that need the witness of Christ. I was listening to Irene the other night, and she shared a testimony of something that happened on the parking lot at Walmart. You want to share that? Come on up. At Home Depot, that's right. I got the wrong store. But I'm still in the club because I got the mind of Christ.
That was so cool.
This is good. I love this. Share it. Take some time.
Okay, so I was at Home Depot, and, you know, they have in the parking lot those workers that come and get your cart for you. So I'm at Home Depot. I'm loading my car, and this gentleman walks up. He's about 60, and he says, can I take your cart for you? He works there. And he was a little bit a little intoxicated, you know, but he was, you know, going to take my cart. So I said, sure, you can take my cart. And he says, can I ask you a question? And I said, yeah. He said, what do you think about men marrying men and women marrying women and having children? And I was like, that is a loaded question. So I took my time. I kind of like paused a minute and I was like, Holy Spirit, what do I say? Because this is a really loaded question. If I answer wrong, like not only my shopping cart will be gone, but the rest of me may be gone as well. So we'll just take our time. So then I looked at him and I said, well, I don't think it's fair to the child. And then I said, what do you think? And then he goes, oh, well, you turned it around on me. You're not supposed to do that. You know, and I was like, well, I answered, you know, now it's your turn. So then he proceeds to tell me his opinion and he doesn't really like it, but it's the new normal and all this kind of stuff. So then I looked at him and I said, do you know the devil? And he's like, the devil? I said, yeah, do you know the devil? He's like, well, he's Satan. I said, yeah, good. Good, you got that down. Do you know anything about him? And he's like, well, he's a bad guy. And I was like, good. Well, right? You don't want to say he's a good guy. So yes, good for you. So then he goes, are you a Christian? And I was like, yes. Yeah, of course. So then I looked at him and I said, do you know, okay, so we know Satan's a bad guy. I said, do you know the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy? So he's killing any happiness that the family could have. He's destroying the meaning of marriage, and he's stealing any happiness that the child could have as well. So then I looked at him and I said, are you going to be in heaven when I get there? And he looks at me and he's like, I said, you don't seem very sure. And he's like, I'll be there. I said, are you sure you're going to be there? Because when I get there, I'm going to come looking for you. And he's like, I'll be there. I said, are you sure? Because if you're not there, I will know where you went. And he's like, I will be there. I will be there. I was like, okay, you better be there. And then I was like, what's your name? You know, because I'm going to come looking for you. He's like, don't worry, I'll be there, I'll be there. And then that was it. So just awesome. Be bold, go for it, because strangers are the easiest. They never see you coming.
That's right.
Just go get them. Nail their hide to the wall, and if they don't listen to you, no big deal. You'll never see them again.
And then tell them what happened the other night after we got done with dinner.
Oh, yes. So then we had dinner, and I went up to the waiter, and I was like, excuse me, can I pray for you? And he's like, I said, oh, come on now. It's only going to take a minute. So then he's like, okay. And he was taller than me, and I think I intimidated him slightly, but I was like, you know, come on now, you must have something. So then he's like, okay. So then I was like, what do you need? He's like, well, I said, oh, come on, just tell me. So then he's like, well, I need prayer for my two daughters. So I was like, all right. So then we prayed for his two daughters, and then I left him in shock. It was great.
Thank you, Rini. Amen. Good. So, I mean, we can be bold and we can be spirit led, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So boldness toward heaven, boldness in the earth, and then we're bold toward those that are under the earth. That means demonic spirits are under our feet. And we do not have to put up with his shenanigans. Amen. We can just take our place and put our foot right on top of that rascal and just continue to walk in triumph and walk in victory. Amen? So say this with me. I'm going to boldly say what God has said. Now here's the problem. A lot of people don't know what he said. You know, they might get happy because the pastor knows what he said. But the important thing is you need to know for yourself what he said. Why? So you can say what he said, and so you can have what you say based on the written word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what are you saying about yourself? Let me lead you in a couple confessions. Say it with me. I am what the word of God says I am. I am a new creation. I have what God's word says I have. I have redemption. I have an inheritance. How about this one? I have the mind of Christ. I don't have an unsound mind. I have a sound mind. My mind is my mind. And I will never lose my mind. But my mind will function perfectly normal all the days of my life. Woo, glory to God. I have the mind of Christ. My mind's not slipping. Hallelujah. Freedom from an unsound mind. That means, that includes, he makes you and I of a quick understanding. In other words, we're not slow. We're not slow. We're quick. Now, why are we quick? Because the Holy Spirit is quick. And he is the quickener. Now, listen. If he can quicken your body, he can quicken your mind. He's like what Keith Moore says. He'll make you sharp, quick, bright, very rich, good looking, and a major blessing. Glory to God. He's our quickener. So stand for that. Stand for that. Whatever age you are at, don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie. Dismiss all this old man talk. You know, I realize I'm not as young as I was when I was 30, but I feel good. I feel good. I'm 74 years old. I can still function well. Praise the Lord. So I'm not going to talk myself into an early grave. I'm not going to talk myself into a retirement home. No, no, no. I've got the mind of Christ. But don't wait until you're 74 to start saying that. Start saying that right now. Let's try that on for size. Say it with me. I have A sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. And then what can we do? Well, glory to God, you know the scripture already. I can do all things. I can do all things. You know, maybe on the job, there's something new that you need to learn. And maybe in the natural realm, it might be a little challenging for you. But don't back off from the challenge. Amen. Challenge the challenger.
Yes.
Step up and step in.
Yes.
And draw from the resources that Christ has given you. He's given you the mind of Christ. And your attitude should be, thank God, by the grace of God, I can and I will do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Yes,
amen. Amen? So speak this then as a way of life. So for faith to work, it's got to be in two places. Two places. In your heart and in your mouth. Romans chapter 10:9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, I like the NSAB on this one. The NSAB translation says this, that if you confess with your mouth your Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, now I like this, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. How many of you are looking for results? Somebody says, well, the results haven't been that good. Well, you need some new results. This is how you got born again. You had the heart and the mouth connection, and it resulted in salvation. Well, if that worked for you being born again, that'll work for you being healed. That'll work for you being debt free. That'll work in every area of your life that Christ has provided you. Believe it in your heart. Resulting in healing, resulting in deliverance, resulting in, come on, days of heaven here on earth. Amen. This will get you healed. Amen. Now, all of God's creation came into existence by speaking. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Someone said it like this, Reuben, that sound came before sight. God is waiting to hear a sound from your voice. He's waiting for you to speak up. If you don't speak up, you'll just lose by default. Are you here? He said it, and then he saw it. And so God is waiting for the sound of faith coming out of our mouths so he can perform it on our behalf. He is watching over his word to perform it. His word in your mouth is heard by your high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the high priest of your confession, and he is looking and listening for words of faith so that he can put on a well-timed, activated manifestation for you. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. In closing, Hebrews chapter 4:14. Hebrews 4:14. Are you excited about faith-filled words?
Yeah.
I heard this statement many years ago. I love it. And that is this. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death.
Yes, they do.
Say that with me. My faith-filled words, will dominate the laws of sin and death. Look at Hebrews 4:14. It says, let us, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us do what? Let us hold fast our what? Our profession. Really, part of our profession as Christians is to hold fast to our confession. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Don't let it slip. You know, there was a football coach that coached a high school team in Texas. And one of the running backs was notorious for fumbling the ball. And he would fumble the ball a lot. And it would cause the game to go the wrong way. So what he did is he gave this young man a football for him to hold it all day during class. So he'd walk the corridors, he'd walk to lunch, and he was holding on to the football. Isn't that interesting? Why was he doing that? Because he wanted him to get used to having that in his hand and not dropping it. How many of you know what happened on game day? On game day, he did not fumble. Well, here's the truth of it. The enemy wants us to fumble. He wants to slap our confessions out of our mouths. And that's why he tells us to hold fast to the Word of God. Beth Jones said it this way. She said, get a grip on your lip and don't let it slip. So hold fast. Hold fast in the good times. Hold fast in the valley. Hold fast on the mountaintop. And hold fast in the routines of life. For Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You know why? Because he is so faithful. And he is so good. And he's promised us good things. Amen.